And good morning. It's time for another Red River Radio Spotlight. I'm Kermit Poling, and joining me in the studio, Michael Butterman, music director of the Shreveport Symphony, who's been on many, many times. Shreveport Symphony opening its season tomorrow, in fact. And guest artist on this particular performance, Aristo Shan, who's the 2015 Weidman Piano Competition Gold Medalist. So, Aristo, glad to have you here for your debut on Red River Radio. Welcome, well, welcome to the booth.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Happy to be here.
And it's a very, well, it's a program of music that is recognizable and music that, like what you're hearing in the background, something that, everybody's going to know, two great composers, Beethoven and Schumann, of course. Why don't you talk a little bit about how it all came together?
Right. Well, I knew that we would have the pleasure of working with Aristo on some concert this season. And I thought, well, let's open with him. And the Schumann Concerto is one that I love very much. I've not ever conducted it here in Shreveport, and I just thought it was high time to do that. And
you bet.
So Aristo was willing to do that. And in fact, it turns out that he was, I guess coincidentally, preparing the work for a competition, which just happened.
Yeah.
And so that worked out to be a nice synchronicity of opportunities. And then, of course, the question is what to put with that. And I hit upon the idea of Beethoven. The you said this is familiar music, and it is in a way, but it's the fourth symphony of Beethoven, which is a lot less frequently heard than
true.
3, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Why is that? I don't know.
I guess maybe, you know, I think it was Schumann himself who said this is the slender Grecian maiden between two titans, between the third and the fifth. You know, I don't know why exactly. You know, it's a very tightly constructed piece. It's got a great energy in the finale. Has a, you know, almost a sort of Haydn-esque energy to it. The scherzo is a lot of fun. Beautiful second movement. What's not to love? So anyway, we're going to open with that. That's kind of unusual. Oftentimes you have a concerto, and then in the second half you have the symphony. But I hit upon the perhaps somewhat unorthodox idea of asking Aristo to play two pieces, not just the Schumann Concerto, but also this choral fantasy by Beethoven, which is another not that frequently heard piece, which combines the sense of a piano concerto and a choral work and a little bit of like orchestral variations in the middle.
Sure.
It's one of these very strange works that he kind of wrote for a specific occasion. It was this concert on which he was premiering the fifth and the sixth symphonies, the fourth piano concerto, two movements from his yet unfinished Mass in C, a concert aria. He had all these forces at his disposal, and I guess he thought to wrap it up.
And obviously lots of time.
Apparently. Well, the concert ended up lasting 4 hours, apparently. And even so, it was reportedly under-rehearsed. And but nonetheless, he wanted to kind of bring all these, you know, write a like a closing number almost. And so I have the chorus, I've got my piano, I've got the orchestra, let's do something that combines all of those things. And it turned out to be, in a way, I think it's fair to say, a sketch in his mind for what would turn out to be the finale of his Symphony Number 9. There's very clearly the idea of theme and variations, and a lot of the way that the main theme of the chorus goes has a lot in common with the eventual Ode to Joy finale that we know in the Ninth Symphony.
Sure. Aristo, why don't you talk a little bit, since you were here for the competition, of what you've been up to since then. I know you've been in other competitions. You've got a lot going on. Lester Center, who runs the competition, she and I were just talking, and she was saying, oh, you're performing almost every single day. Why don't you talk a little bit about where you've gone from that point?
From that point. So right now I'm at Harvard and New England Conservatory, so that's where I'm at most of the time, just studying, I'm doing my degrees. And so since that, I've done a few competitions in the States, in New York and Milwaukee, and then over this past summer I also did two competitions in Switzerland and in Norway, and I've been performing here and there. Like over the summer I did Japan, Italy, and some in the States. So it's been a great time.
Yeah, talk a little bit about the Schumann from the pianist's point of view.
So, like, I mean, I obviously love the piece. It's beautiful. It's amazing. And when I first opened the score, it was actually quite surprising because it's a bit unconventional in that it's not sort of like the heroic, romantic soloist. It's more sort of chamber music with the orchestra. So I'm actually playing accompaniment all the time. So in the beginning, when I first read it, I was like, this doesn't sound very familiar. But then I got to working on it. I really loved it. It feels really comfortable on the keys, and when I played with orchestra, it made so much sense, and I love performing it.
You know, it used to be back in the days of records, you may not know what those are because you're so young, that almost always you'd find a recording of the Schumann, and on the flip side would be the Grieg, you know, because they're singular concertos. But I always felt, aside from there being romantic works, mm-hmm. I never felt that they really had a whole lot in common. And mm-hmm. you had people that tended to gravitate towards the Grieg, at least as students. Then you had those that gravitated towards the Schumann. Mm-hmm. And I confess to being one of those back in the days when I played piano. But at least to me, don't you find them to be different pieces? And yet, yeah. and yet, people tend to hear them. You know, if they have a recording, they tend to get them in pairs.
Well, I think they're both in A minor. I guess that's
another thing too. That's true.
But yeah, they're very different pieces. And I mean, for me, I prefer the Schumann. But
way to go.
Yeah. I guess it makes a good contrast. The two pieces. Yeah.
Yeah, and the choral fantasy. Mm-hmm. This is a piece that I've always found intriguing because basically, you know, it's a very long piano cadenza.
Yeah.
that goes on before, you know, the orchestra really has mm-hmm. anything to do. I always find that really fascinating. I always wondered what was in his mind other than his moment to show off. Did he must have played piano at the premiere.
Oh, he did. Yeah, yes. Yeah. And my understanding is I don't think he wrote that down. I think he improvised. And whether or not what we now know as the opening of the choral fantasy is what he played, I guess we have no idea. He may have, you know, tried to remember exactly what he played and wrote it down, or he might have just sort of had another idea. But I think it tells us a little bit about Beethoven's improvisatory style, perhaps.
Yeah, because it's quite different from the other stuff he wrote down formally.
Mm.
And I mean, it's almost like Liszt-ian in a way, with its like octaves and the running passages. It's quite unlike the sonatas and the concerti. So it's quite interesting to learn and see what it was like.
Right.
Yeah.
And as we say, it's the choral fantasy. That should imply to most people that there's a chorus involved. So we should mention, of course, the Centenary College Choirs.
We absolutely should, yes. I'm going to go rehearse with them in an hour's time or so, and I'm looking very forward to having them join us. They're also joining us again in March for our Bernstein celebration concert, singing the Chichester Psalms.
Yeah, great.
But, you know, this is a piece that I was concerned about it, you know, because relatively early in the season, they haven't been in classes all that long. I said, you know, can you get something together this quickly? And, of course, the ironic thing is, in a way, there's only about 5 or 6 minutes of singing in the piece. There's not that much actual time that the chorus is singing, and yet it's somehow the culmination of that piece, and in a way, of the whole opening concert, I guess you might say.
Sure.
Yeah, but anyway, we're very happy to have them with us.
Yeah, I might, since we have the opportunity, and this is the opening concert of the whole season, and you already mentioned the Bernstein, you want to just hit on some of the highlights that are coming up for the season?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then coming up next month, we celebrate the 500th anniversary of Martin Luther's nailing of those 95 theses on the cathedral door with the Reformation Symphony of Felix Mendelssohn, along with the Mozart Clarinet Concerto played by Ricardo Morales, a principal in the Philadelphia Orchestra. We've got music of John Williams, which is already selling very, very well, I understand, in November. In December, two-time Tony Award winner Sutton Foster will be joining us for a holiday concert, as well as some Broadway standards. And then we have the music of, let me get it right, the Rolling Stones is what it is, in January. Later that month, something very different. John Henry Crawford, native son of Shreveport, will be joining us to play a very, very appealing work called the Concerto for Cello and Orchestra by Friedrich Gulda, along with the Schubert Ninth Symphony. Eric Bergen of Jersey Boys and Madam Secretary is going to be joining us for a Pops concert in February. We've got the Bernstein that I mentioned in March. And then we close. I'm doing this without a net.
Without it in front of you. Oh, that's so unfair.
April. We must have something great in April. Oh, yes, there it is. I got it. Brahms' Fourth Symphony. Philippe Quint is joining us for the Korngold Gold Concerto.
Oh, yes.
Yes,
yeah,
how could
absolutely
I?
Amazing.
It's just momentarily set my mind. And then, actually, what's it called? The Die Fledermaus Overture piece. I think it's a lovely piece and doesn't get done on sort of standard subscription classes all that often, but I think makes a nice Viennese trio there.
Yeah. So the whole season ahead of us here, we're mostly focusing on the concert that is tomorrow, 7:30 p.m. at the Riverview Theater in downtown Shreveport. I had to double check on that because I was thinking, have we moved venues yet?
But not yet.
We're still at Riverview for that Beethoven and Schumann. And for those that haven't had the opportunity to hear Aristo perform, we actually have. Normally, we would have you play in our studios here, mm-hmm. but we've had so much going on, we weren't able to set that up for this morning, but I do have a recording of you playing some Ravel.
Yes.
If we can play a little bit of that, your opportunity to hear the featured guest soloist here, Aristo Sham. Pianist Aristo Sham, obviously live in performance. You want to talk about that? What we just heard?
Yeah, so that's Ravel's Toccata from his suite Le Tombeau de Couperin.
Yeah,
and it's an amazing piece.
it was an amazing performance to go along with that. And of course, tomorrow evening you'll be performing the Piano Concerto of Schumann, and in addition, Beethoven's Choral Fantasy, along mm-hmm. with the Centenary College Choir and the Shreveport Symphony and all of that on a program that includes both Beethoven and Schumann. Michael, anything else you want to add about
I was just going to say we are certainly grateful for our Symphony Guild, who is sponsoring this concert, and their longtime sponsorship of the Weidman Piano Competition is certainly part of the reason that they are on board for this. So we are, and of course, we're always thankful for Willis Knighton's sponsorship of the orchestra season. And anyway, it's going to be a great evening and a great start to what promises to be an exciting season. Hope that everybody will come out and check it out tomorrow night.
Absolutely. And for tickets, you can go to ShreveportSymphony.com or you can call the Symphony Tune Line. That's 318-227-TUNE or that's 8863. Either way, you can get your tickets and you can always, if you decide at the last minute you want to come, you can always come down to Riverview Theater, and I'm sure they'll find a way to get you into the hall. So, Michael Aristo, thank you very much for being here.
Well,
our pleasure.
Great having you on the air, and break a leg, as they say, Aristo. And if you are with an organization, you have an event coming up, and you'd like to be featured on a future Spotlight, then give us a call at 800-552-8502.